Hello everyone, thank you for joining me. I hope this video finds you well and healthy. This letter that we're going to read from Nichiren is a letter, it's addressed to Misawa. I'm not sure if it actually was addressed that way, but although it does end with the epithet letter to Misawa. He wrote this in 1278, and in it, he talks about his pre-Sado Island exile teaching and doctrine, and his reaching out to his disciples, his students, with teachings during and after his exile, which, you know, like all of us, he develops over time. And so it'll be interesting. They're not quite sure if this was written to Misawa Kojiro or if it was to Kojiro's grandson, Masahiro. Misawa seems to have kept his distance from Nichiren for fear of antagonizing and arousing suspicions of the Kamakura shogunate, but Nichiren expresses understanding of his position as the lord of a major manor responsible for a fief family and retainers, and kindly encourages him. So Misawa was a lord of Misawa. At that time, you would say an estate, maybe, in Fuji district of Suruga province, though some consider it given to his grandson. So should be an interesting walk. I don't know that we can get it in one part. It's not that lengthy, but you know how it goes. All right. So he begins the letter. Please tell the people of Suruga that they should unite firmly in resolve. And basically that's instructions to strengthen the Sangha, right? I have received your offerings of 100 mandarin oranges, kelp, laver, which is another type of seaweed, dried seaweed, dark green seaweed, and other produce that you took the trouble to send me in this remote mountainous place. I've also received the quilted robe made by the lay nun, Utsubusa. So lots of things to help Nichiren subsist. I have carefully examined the points you raised in your letter. So this is actually a reply, right? And I understand. Although the people who study Buddhism outnumber the dust particles of the land, those who actually become Buddhas are fewer than the specks of dirt that can be placed on a fingernail. This, the world-honored one of great enlightenment, clearly states in the Nirvana Sutra. On reading it, I wondered why it should be so difficult, but after some thought, I realized that indeed it must be so. Although people study Buddhism, it is difficult for them to practice it correctly, either because of the ignorance of their minds, in other words, the constant distractions that pull our samsaric and monkey mind into focus, doesn't allow us to stay in the realization and the experience of Buddha clarity, right? We've talked about that many times. Or because, even though wise, they fail to realize that they are being misled by their teachers. Outside influences, right? You'll remember in the prayer, the meditation of Zange, that there's a portion of it that indicates that everything actually is our teachers, not just people, but everything. Because we are, and our environment are actually one, mind, body, are one inclusive whole. Anyway, moving on. Moreover, even though one may encounter a wise teacher and the true sutra and thereby embrace the correct teaching, when one's resolve to break free from the sufferings of birth and death and attain Buddhahood, one will invariably encounter seven grave matters known as the three obstacles and the four devils. Just as surely as a shadow follows the body and clouds accompany rain, even if you should manage to overcome the first six, If you are defeated by the seventh, then you will not be able to become a Buddha, to attain full perfect enlightenment. Instantiation of that Buddhahood. In other words, when we chant Myoho Renge Kyo, we open the door to it. But to walk through the door and remain in that life condition, in that state, that is the difficulty, right? Let us leave the first six for now. So he's not even going to talk about those. He's just going to focus his attention on the biggies. The seventh is caused by the devil king of the sixth heaven, Dairoku Ten no Mao, right? When an ordinary person of the latter age is ready to attain Buddhahood, having realized the essence of all the sacred teachings of the Buddha's lifetime and understood the heart of the important teachings set forth in the Great Concentration and Insight, this devil is greatly surprised. He says to himself, quote, "This is most vexing. If I allow this person to remain in my domain, he not only will free himself from the sufferings of birth and death, but he will lead others to enlightenment as well. Moreover, he will take over my realm and change it into a pure land. What shall I do?" So he creates a personage out of this basic fundamental attachment obsession that creates human life, that we seek to break free from, not to eliminate, but to break free from our attachment, our obsession, and simply become observers of it with clarity in our Buddha mind. Well, he takes that essence of life, of part of the life process, our humanity, our samsaricness, our life condition as humans, and he turns it into a personage, much like Shakyamuni always did. And basically, this personage is Dairoku Ten no Mao. Dairoku Ten no Mao, if you want to research it, is the king of demons, because under him he has a vast realm of different demons, influences, negative because they keep you from your awakening, your path to Buddhahood. And he makes it a personage. It's easier to relate to this large concept through this one naming convention. It suits our samsaric mind, right? So this personage, it says, "What shall I do?" The devil king then summons all his underlings from the threefold world of desire, form, and formlessness, and tells them, quote, "Each of you now go and harass that votary according to your respective skills." Right? Things like emotionalism, worrying, security, job alliances, friends, family members, they all get possessed by these influences that are specifically tailored to you, and they start pressing your buttons. Right? This is just a folkloric description of how the mind works. "If you should fail to make him abandon his Buddhist practice, then enter into the minds of his disciples, lay supporters, and the people of his land, and thus try to persuade or threaten him." What I just said. "If these attempts are also unsuccessful, I myself will go down and possess the mind and body of his sovereign to persecute that votary. Together, how can we fail to prevent him from attaining Buddhahood?" So this is the king demon will say, "Well, I won't even bother with him. If you're unsuccessful, I'll go to his teacher, the one he follows, his mentor, and I'll discredit him so badly, I'll treat him so badly that his conviction and his own, he'll beat himself up out of fear," right? So, I, Nichiren, have long been aware of all of this and therefore know how difficult it is for an ordinary person of the latter age to become a Buddha in this lifetime. There's a lot of obstacles. The sutras describe in many places how Shakyamuni Buddha attained enlightenment and the obstacles he suffered because of the devil king of the sixth heaven seem absolutely unbearable. The fiendish acts of Devadatta and of King Ajatashatru were due solely to the workings of that devil. The Lotus Sutra says, quote, since hatred and jealousy toward this sutra abound even when the Duskam One is in the world, how much more will it be so after his passing? How many times have we heard him quote that passage? It's not because he's limited in his knowledge. It's because it's so applicable to the samurai authoritarian state in the 13th century Japan. And I have no qualms saying that we're not too far off from that today in many ways, if not completely. We may even surpass if you look at the world and the different cultures and countries experiencing all kinds of strange oppressions and stupidity. He goes on, an ordinary person like Nichiren would not be able to bear any of the tribulations the world-honored one of the Great Enlightenment underwent for a single day or even a single moment, let alone all the various persecutions that befell him during a period of 50 years or more. All during his teaching, Shakyamuni was reviled. He moved around a lot, not only to spread his teachings, but to get away from persecutions. Because wherever he taught, those in power saw him as a very real threat. He was freeing people's minds. He was empowering them to think for themselves, not something acceptable in a dictatorial state, right? Moreover, it is taught that in the latter age, persecutions will be 100,000, 10,000, million times greater than those in the Buddha's lifetime. Yikes. I wondered how I could possibly withstand them. A sage, however, is said to be capable of predicting what will occur in the future. With regard to the three existences, an understanding of the future is the mark of a true sage. I may not be a sage, but I have for some time known that Japan would, in our day, bring ruin upon itself because of its attachment to erroneous teachings. I knew that if I dared to say this openly, then surely I must be the votary of the Lotus Sutra who the Buddha prophesied would appear in the future age that he was describing when he said, quote, how much more will it be so after his passing? But if, though knowing what the future holds, I were to remain silent, I would be condemned to be born a mute or a stutterer in lifetime after lifetime. In other words, his future would be bleak. I myself would become a great enemy of Shakyamuni Buddha, the Lord of Teachings, and a traitor to the ruler of Japan, because I wouldn't be performing truth, my understanding of these teachings. It must be shared, it must be told. And if I don't, then I'm actually working against it. After death, I would fall into the great citadel of the hell of incessant suffering. I question the translation at this point. But certainly I can interpret that to mean that the lasting memory he would provide for people would be a great obstacle to their awakening, their practice of Buddhism. And in that way, his name would be a great influence of obstacle of Dairoku Denno Mao to prevent others to practice Buddhism. So that sounds logical to me. For years, therefore, I have continually admonished myself that even though I might lack food or clothing or be rebuked by my parents, brothers, teacher, and colleagues, or be persecuted by the ruler and all the people, if I were going to waver even in the slightest on that account, I would have done better never to have spoken out in the first place. Now, I want to remind you of something that I think I said several times in the last Go Show. What he's displaying here, what Nichiren is displaying here, is a tremendous level of confidence. He has studied and become a scholar of what he has studied. He's not casually saying, this is what Buddhism is, this is the culminating teaching, this is the way to practice. He didn't just wake up one day and go, I think that's what I'll say. No, that came, that realization came through years, a lifetime, if you will, of intense study and questioning. And it just became so obvious, and it will for you. I know it did for me. The more I read, the more I sought inside and outside of Buddhism, these concepts, through everything from quantum physics to philosophers, to language, to Michel Foucault and civilization, near and far, and Buddhist scholarship and other sutras. The more I read and fed myself on the knowledge and teachings of Buddhism, the more blindingly obvious certain concepts and points came through. And not only did they come through, but they were validated by actual observation. I saw it at work in my life. That kind of conviction, it can't be forced upon you. It can't come from someone else. You can be inspired by somebody else, and that can give you some degree of conviction, but ultimately you have to experience for yourself. And this is what I mean when I say Buddhism is an individual practice. But as individuals in a sangha practicing together, we inspire ourselves as well as each other. So that mechanism of bodhisattva proves out the Buddhist cosmology that we are in fact all one. Itai Doshin, many in body, but one in mind. Buddha is Buddha. So although in earthly terms, we may say we awaken our Buddha nature, what we awaken to is the Buddha nature, the Buddha mind. Because, as I've said many times, samsara is about distinctions. Buddha is about none. No distinctions. So there isn't a Sylvain Buddha and a Betty Buddha and a Bob Buddha. Or Brian Buddha, how many more B names can you think of? Let's continue a little further here. Where are we? Oh, we haven't gone very far at all. So, Nichiren continues. During the past countless kalpas, I have met the Lotus Sutra several times and aroused the aspiration for enlightenment. However, while I have been able to bear one or two difficulties, I must have given up when faced with a succession of great obstacles. In this life, I knew that if I were truly resolved to withstand the harsh trials, then I must speak out. This I did, and I encountered great persecutions one after another, just as the sutra predicts. My resolution is now immovable. Determined to endure any hardship, I have fulfilled the Buddha's prediction, and I have not the slightest doubt. Now I am living here in the mountain forest. Even if you should abandon your resolute mind and conviction in the Lotus Sutra, how could I regard as strangers the people who, if only for one day or even a moment, have helped me survive? Never have I cared what happens to me personally. I promised that no matter what might befall me, I would maintain my resolve and conviction without regressing. And if I became a Buddha, I would lead all of you to enlightenment. You have less knowledge of Buddhism than I, and moreover, you are lay believers with lands, wives, and children, and retainers. Therefore, it may be extremely difficult for you to sustain your resolve throughout life. Right? This is part of our samsaric trap, you might say, as far as enlightenment goes. We have in our cultures inculcated deep cultural societal rules and behaviors that we have little choice but to follow. Whereas someone like Nichiren doesn't have to maintain a job, maintain lands, maintain any of that. He relies on his followers to support him. So this, in this way, he has less distractions and can focus entirely on Buddhist practice. This is why I have always told you that because of your position, it would be better to feign ignorance of this teaching. No matter what may happen in the future, be assured that I will never forsake or neglect you. So this is interesting. He's, you know, who is this, Matsuno? He's obviously answering some doubt that Misawa had. Because Misawa is hearing from these other landowners and samurais as well, other retainers. As everyone in Japan was in conflict one way or another, that Nichiren is a poser. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And although he's a follower and chanting Myoho Rengekyo, these things probably frighten him. And they frighten him because not only for himself, but his wife, his retainers, his land, so on and so forth. He's in a very risky spot. Because he's under the scrutiny of the shogunate, right? So I'm sure in his own way, he was asking for some reassurances, which is what Nichiren is doing. And at the same time, those reassurances are tools for him to be able to resolve any conflicts that he gets into. And yet, Nichiren kind of wraps that up in a what does he say? His words, he says, feign ignorance. Like, you know, if people start attacking your understanding of the Lotus Sutra or the Nichiren's teachings, doctrines, say you don't know. Just play dumb. That way you don't have to be put in a position that might end up killing you or taking away your lands, your wife, and your fiefs, right? Better to do that than lose your opportunity to stay on the path to Buddhahood. That's always primary. As for my teachings, regard those before my exile to the province of Sado as equivalent to the Buddha's pre-Lotus Sutra teachings. I had thought that if the ruler of this country desired to govern well, he would summon the monks from the True Word School for an open debate with me. And that on that occasion, I would reveal a matter of truly supreme importance. Before my exile, I withheld this even from my disciples, for fear that if I should tell them, even in confidence, they might inadvertently disclose it to the True Word monks, who would then avoid the debate. This is why I refrained from revealing it to each one of you as well. See, Nichiren's focus, as we know, was very much on changing the minds of the leadership of Japan because it's a deeply authoritarian government. And so if he could change their mind, then the people would follow because they're just waiting to be told what to do. That's an authoritarian state. People don't want to make up their own minds. They want to be told what to do, either out of laziness or fear, right? So if Nichiren were to tell his followers, look, I'm going to debate these guys and I'm going to make them look foolish. That word would spread, those rumors would spread faster than Instagram. It'd be all over Japan. And so those leaders of those other schools would think, well, we either need to devise a plan to shame Nichiren or, as Nichiren suggests, they know they're in error. So they just won't debate him. They'll say things like, he's not worthy of debate, right? They'll just cast him aside because they're scared crapless, okay? So Nichiren kept that secret. But once he was sent to Sado Island, there was a changing point in his propagation of Lotus Sutra. He realized at that point that if their leadership was willing to go to the point of killing him and then exiling him, that they were not going to listen to him. So he had to resort to plan B, which was to go hard at the populace, and hopefully by the welling up of enlightenment and practice by the populace, even though it was very risky, that he might sway the leadership. He didn't want to go that route because it's very scary. It's very, and lots of followers were imprisoned or killed, had their lands taken, just because they followed Nichiren. See, Nichiren didn't want that to happen, but if he couldn't convince the leadership and they were ready to end his life, and therefore his proselytizing of the Lotus Sutra, then there'd be no hope. So he had to resort to expanding his influence amongst the people. Then on the 9th of the 12th, the 12th day of the 9th month in the 8th year of Bunye, 1271, I was very nearly beheaded at Tatsunakuchi. From that time, I felt pity for my followers because I'd not yet revealed this true teaching to any of them. With this in mind, I secretly conveyed my teachings to my disciples from the province of Sado. After the Buddha's passing, great scholars and teachers such as Mahakasyapa, Ananda, Nagarjuna, Vasubandhu, Tendai, Myaolo, Dengyo, and Gishin knew this teaching, but kept it in their hearts and did not express it in words. The reason was that the Buddha had forbidden them to spread it, stating, quote, "After my passing, this great law should not be revealed until the latter day of the law arrives." I may not be an envoy sent by the Buddha himself, but my appearance in this world coincides with the age of the latter day. Moreover, quite unexpectedly, I came to realize this teaching, which I now expound to prepare the way for a sage. Again, he speaks of himself very humbly, but when it comes to the Lotus Sutra, he's absolutely confident. With the appearance of this teaching, all the teachings advocated by the scholars and teachers of Buddhism during the former and middle days of the law will be like stars after sunrise, or an awkward apprentice beside a skilled craftsman. It is stated that once this teaching is revealed in this era, the Buddha images as well as the monks of the temples built in the former and middle days will all lose their power to benefit people, and only this great teaching will spread throughout the entire land of Jambudvipa, the entire world. Since all of you have a bond with this teaching, you should feel reassured. Utsubusa came a long distance to visit me, despite her advanced age. But since I was told that it was merely a casual visit on her way back from the shrine to the deity of her ancestors, I would not see her, although I pitied her greatly. Had I permitted her to see me, I would have been allowing her to commit slander against the Lotus Sutra. The reason is that all deities are subjects, and the Lotus Sutra is their lord. It is against even the code of society to visit one's lord on the way back from calling on one of his subjects. You see the hierarchy there? It is 13th century Japan. Moreover, Utsubusa is a lay nun and should have the Buddha foremost in mind. See, every act you commit. She was more concerned, devoted to visiting the shrine of her ancestors than she was to connect with the votary of the latter day of the Lotus Sutra. That's backwards. If anything, it is the law of Myoho Rengekyo that allows for her to have ancestors. She's not thinking right. And so to save her embarrassment and her commitment of a backwards, unfilial to the teachings act, he refused to see her and go on your way. He wouldn't let her commit that error. She may not have seen it that way at the time, but that's what he was doing. Because she made this and other mistakes as well, I refused to see her. She was not the only one, however. I refused to see many others who stopped by to visit me on their return from the hot spring resort at Shimobi. Utsubusa is the same age that my parents would be. I feel deeply sorry to have disappointed her, but I want her to understand this point. Not that he, Nichiren, is more important, but that the Myoho Rengekyo is of ultimate importance. Nothing preempts your Buddhahood. After you came here to see me the year before last, I received word, true or not, I do not know, that you were ill, and I wanted to send a messenger to inquire after you. But my disciples said that, much as they understood how I felt, they advised against it, as I might embarrass you. Therefore, I abandoned the idea, acknowledging that such is the way of the world. I thought that if you were really ill, you would inform me through a messenger, since you have always been sincere and resolute in mind and conviction. I did not hear from you, however, so I myself deliberately refrained from inquiring after you, although I have been anxious about you all this time. Impermanence is the way of all things. But last year and this year, the world has seen such great turmoil that I wondered if I could ever see you again. Just when I was longing to hear from you, your letter arrived. Nothing could have given me greater pleasure. Please tell the lay nun, Utsubusa, about all that I have written here. So let her know so that you can ease her pain that I did not see her because I want her to learn this point, not because I'm not compassionate toward her. I don't wish her well. It was a teaching moment. I would like to explain further about my teaching, but this letter is already too long. It doesn't matter, Nichiren, go on. Where are we? Reminding me about time, okay. Either I mentioned the Zen, Nembutsu, and precept schools. Earlier, I mentioned them. But of the many schools of Buddhism, the true word is the very teaching that brought ruin upon China and will destroy Japan as well. Not only were six monks, the Tripitaka master Shan Wu Wei, Ching Kang Chi, and Pu Kung, and the great teachers Kobo, Jikaku, and Chisho, confused as to the relative superiority of the Lotus Sutra and the three true word sutras, such as the Mahavarachana, but the first three Tripitaka masters also made objects of devotion representing the two diamond and womb realms and misled people to believe that these mandalas had originated in India. Being so deceived, the great teachers learned the true word doctrines, brought them to Japan, and spread them throughout the land to everyone from the ruler on down to the common people. Emperor Xuanzong of China lost his empire because of the true word doctrines, and Japan is also steadily declining. The retired emperor of Oki, who served as the 82nd emperor, was robbed of his power by the Kamakura government despite great Bodhisattva Hachiman's oath to protect 100 successive rulers. This misfortune was solely the result of meditations offered by eminent monks who followed the three great teachers mentioned above on behalf of the imperial court. These meditations rebound upon the originator. Because the Kamakura shogunate attacked this evil doctrine and the evil men who espoused it, it might have ruled our land for 18 generations more. Until its 100th ruler, in accordance with the oath of the great Bodhisattva Hachiman. However, it has now turned to the men of the same evil doctrine it once opposed. Therefore, as Japan no longer has a ruler worthy of protection, Brahma, Chakra, and the deities of the sun and moon, and the four heavenly kings have reached a decision and ordered a foreign country to threaten Japan. They have also dispatched the votary of the Lotus Sutra as their envoy. The ruler, however, does not heed his warnings. On the contrary, he sides with the monks, thus creating chaos in both the secular realm of government and the religious realm of Buddhism. I would argue that religious is a Western translation not appropriate to Buddhism. I've said that, I've talked about this many times. As a result, he has become a formidable enemy of the Lotus Sutra. And as his slander has long continued, this country is on the verge of ruin. Today's epidemic is no less than the harbinger of a great war that is to come. How pitiful, how tragic. The world is being ravaged by a pandemic now. And tensions and warmongers are positioning themselves politically. And I certainly am chanting wholeheartedly that it doesn't come to a boil. But boy, are we close. If for no other reason, let that motivate you to chant to a mandala, awaken your Buddha nature, and so much awaken your Buddha nature as to forcefully command your environment to awaken. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. He signs the letter Nichiren, 23rd day of the second month. Now, he wrote this in 1278, so he was well retired in Minobu at the time. And, he's kind of watching the situation from afar now, still maintaining a growing body of students. But as he's well described here, the elite, the ruling class, they're just doubling down on their ignorance. And every sign that they've had from the Mongols, they're not heeding. Their arrogance lets them feel false security. And the history books are written on that period of time. Japan was invaded, and it took a long time for Japan to settle down. Even with Nichiren, change sometimes just doesn't happen right away. It takes a tremendous amount of effort, as it does in our own lives, our microcosm of that macrocosm, right? Which is, you know, if you think that way, that's very Buddhist, because it also, it's a two-way street. Your microcosm can affect the macrocosm. Always know that in your heart. Let that motivate and support your practice when you have doubt, when you're shaky. Understand that it's not just about you. Right? You have the responsibility of a parent, sovereign, teacher. Just by your behavior. So make sure your behavior is always ruled by your reverence to your Buddha. Myoho Renge Kyo. And with that, so much love, so much pride in your efforts here. I can't even express. Thank you for being part of this Sangha, for giving me an audience. And all the other YouTuber stuff, I don't even want to say, you know. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. Keep your practice strong. Let's change the world together. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. All right, I'll see you in the next one.